Welcome to Protecting Project Pulp, part of the District of Wonders Network, featuring Starship Sofa, Tales to Terrify, and Crime City Central. Everyone has a story in the District of Wonders. Come and find yours.
This is Protecting Project Pulp, Episode 60. I'm your host, Simon Hildebrandt. Welcome to the show. This week we bring you Letter from the Stars by A.E. Van Vogt, narrated by Josh Roseman. Alfred Elton Van Vogt was a Canadian-born science fiction author regarded as one of the most popular and complex of the mid-20th century. Born April 26, 1912, his first science fiction story was published by John W. Campbell in the July 1939 edition of Astounding Science Fiction, and was later combined with several related stories into his novel The Voyage of the Space Beagle. Such novels, created from reworking short stories, he referred to as fix-ups. In contrast, Van Vogt's first completed novel, Slan, was subsequently serialized by Campbell in Astounding from September to December 1940. His colourful life includes a period working at the Canadian Department of National Defence, before quitting to become a full-time writer, and a stint as the head of L. Ron Hubbard's Dianetics Operation in California, the secular precursor to Hubbard's Church of Scientology. His fiction is an integral part of the period considered the golden age of science fiction, and he passed away January 26, 2000. Josh Roseman, not the trombonist, the other one, lives in Georgia, the state, not the country. His writing has appeared in Asimov's Escape Pod and the crossed genres anthology Fat Girl in a Strange Land. His fiction has been reprinted by the Doonstief Audio Fiction magazine and Starship Sofa, and his voice has been heard on two of the Escape Artists and all four of the District of Wonders podcasts. When not writing, he mostly complains about the fact that he's not writing. Find him online at roseplusman.com or on Twitter at listener42. So let's put stylus to metal. It's time to reply to A Letter from the Stars by A.E. Van Vogt, narrated by Josh Roseman.
Dear Pen Pal, when I first received your letter from the Interstellar Correspondence Club, my impulse was to ignore it. The mood of one who has spent the last 70 planetary periods, years I suppose you would call them, in an Origean prison, does not make for a pleasant exchange of letters. However, life is very boring, and so I finally settled myself to the task of writing you. Your description of Earth sounds exciting. I should like to live there for a while, and I have a suggestion in this connection, but I won't describe it till I have developed it further. You will have noticed the material on which this letter is written. It is a highly sensitive metal, very thin, very flexible, and I have enclosed several sheets of it for your use. Tungsten, dipped in any strong acid, makes an excellent mark on it. It is important to me that you do write on it, as my fingers are too hot, literally, to hold your paper without damaging it. I'll say no more just now. It is possible you will not care to correspond with a convicted criminal, and therefore, I shall leave the next move up to you. Thank you for your letter. Though you did not know its destination, it brought a moment of cheer into my drab life. Scander, Planet Origae 2. Dear Pen Pal, your prompt reply to my letter made me happy. I am sorry your doctor thought it excited you too much, and sorry also if I have described my predicament in such a way as to make you feel badly. I welcome your many questions, and I shall try to answer them all. You say the International Correspondence Club has no record of having sent any letters to Origae, that, according to them, the temperature on the second planet of the Origae Sun is more than 500 degrees Fahrenheit, and that life is not known to exist there. Your club is right about the temperature and the letters. We have what your people would call a hot climate. But then we are not a hydrocarbon form of life, and find 500 degrees very pleasant. I must apologize for deceiving you about the way your first letter was sent to me. I didn't want to frighten you away by telling you too much at once. I could not know that you would want to hear from me. The truth is that I am a scientist, and along with the other members of my race, I have known for some centuries that there were other inhabited systems in the galaxy. Since I am allowed to experiment in my spare hours, I amused myself in attempts at communication. I developed several simple systems for breaking in on galactic communication operations. But it was not until I developed a subspace wave control that I was able to draw your letter, along with several others which I did not answer, into a cold chamber. I use the cold chamber as both a sending and receiving center, and since you were kind enough to use the material which I sent you, it was easy for me to locate your second letter among the mass of mail that accumulated at the nearest headquarters of the Interstellar Correspondence Club. How did I learn your language? After all, it is a simple one. Particularly the written language seems easy. I had no difficulty with it. If you are still interested in writing me, I shall be happy to continue the correspondence. Scander, Origae 2. Dear pen pal, your enthusiasm is refreshing. You say that I failed to answer your question about how I expected to visit Earth. I confess I deliberately ignored the question, as my experiment had not yet proceeded far enough. I want you to bear with me a short time longer, and then I will be able to give you the details. You are right in saying that it would be difficult for a being who lives at a temperature of 500 degrees Fahrenheit to mingle freely with the people of Earth. This was never my intention, so please relieve your mind. However, let us drop that subject for the time being. I appreciate the delicate way in which you approach the subject of my imprisonment, but it is quite unnecessary. I performed forbidden experiments upon my body in a way that was deemed to be dangerous to the public welfare. For instance, among other things, I once lowered my surface temperature to 150 degrees Fahrenheit, and so shortened the radioactive cycle time of my surroundings. This caused an unexpected break in the normal person-to-person energy flow in the city where I lived, and so charges were laid against me. I have 30 more years to serve. It would be pleasant to leave my body behind and tour the universe. But as I said, I'll discuss that later. I wouldn't say that we're a superior race. We have certain qualities which apparently your people do not have. We live longer, not because of any discoveries we've made about ourselves, but because our bodies are built of a more enduring element. I don't know your name for it, but the atomic weight is 52.9. Author's note: a radioactive isotope of chromium. Our scientific discoveries are of the kind that would normally be made by a race with our kind of physical structure. The fact that we can work with temperatures of as high as, I don't know just how to put that, has been very helpful in the development of the subspace energies which are extremely hot and require delicate adjustments. In the later stages, these adjustments can be made by machinery. But in the development, the work must be done by hand. I put that word in quotes because we have no hands in the same way that you have. I am enclosing a photographic plate properly cooled and chemicalized for your climate. I wonder if you would set it up and take a picture of yourself. All you have to do is arrange it properly on the basis of the laws of light. That is, light travels in straight lines. So, stand in front of it, and when you are ready, think, ready. The picture will be automatically taken. Would you do this for me? If you are interested, I will also send you a picture of myself, though I must warn you, my appearance will probably shock you. Sincerely, Scander, Origae 2. Dear pen pal, just a brief note in answer to your question. It is not necessary to put the plate into a camera. You describe this as a dark box. The plate will take the picture when you think, ready. I assure you it will not be flooded with light. Scander, Planet Origae. Dear pen pal, you say that while you were waiting for the answer to my last letter, you showed the photographic plate to one of the doctors at the hospital. I cannot picture what you mean by doctor or hospital, but let that pass. And he took the problem up with government authorities. Problem. I don't understand. I thought we were having a pleasant correspondence, private and personal. I shall certainly appreciate your sending that picture of yourself. Skander, Origae 2. Dear pen pal, I assure you I am not annoyed at your action. It merely puzzled me, and I am sorry the plate has not yet been given back to you. Knowing what governments are, I can imagine that it will not be returned to you for some time, so I am taking the liberty of enclosing another plate. I cannot imagine why you should have been warned against continuing this correspondence. What do they expect me to do? Eat you up at long distance? I'm sorry, but I don't like hydrogen in my diet. In any event, I would like your picture as a memento of our friendship, and I will send you mine as soon as I have received yours. You may keep it, or throw it away, or give it to your governmental authorities, but at least I will have the knowledge that I've given a fair exchange. With all best wishes, Skander, Origae 2. Dear pen pal, your last letter was so long in coming that I thought you had decided to break off the correspondence. I was sorry to notice that you failed to enclose the photograph, puzzled by your reference to having had a relapse, and cheered by your statement that you would send it along as soon as you felt better, whatever that means. However, the important thing is that you did right, and I respect the philosophy of your club, which asks its members not to write of pessimistic matters. We all have our own problems, which we regard as overshadowing the problems of others. Here I am in prison, doomed to spend the next 30 years tucked away from the mainstream of life. Even the thought is hard on my restless spirit, though I know I have a long life ahead of me after my release. In spite of your friendly letter, I won't feel that you have completely re-established contact with me until you send me the photograph. Skander, Origae 2. Dear pen pal, the photograph arrived. As you suggest, your appearance startled me. From your description, I thought I had mentally reconstructed your body. It just goes to show that words cannot really describe an object which one has never seen. You'll notice that I've enclosed a photograph of myself as I promised I would. Chunky, metallic-looking chap. Am I not very different, I'll wager, than you expected? The various races with whom we have communicated become wary of us when they discover we are highly radioactive, and that, literally, we are a radioactive form of life, the only such that we know of in the universe. It's been very trying to be so isolated, and, as you know, I have occasionally mentioned that I had hopes of escaping not only the deadly imprisonment to which I am being subjected, but also the body which cannot escape. Perhaps you'll be interested in hearing how far this idea has developed. The problem involved is one of exchange of personalities with someone else. Actually, it is not really an exchange in the accepted meaning of the word. It is necessary to get an impress of both individuals, of their minds, and of their thoughts, as well as their bodies. Since this phase is purely mechanical, it is simply a matter of taking complete photographs and of exchanging them. By complete, I mean, of course, every vibration must be registered. The next step is to make sure the two photographs are exchanged. That is, that each party has somewhere near him a complete photograph of the other. It is already too late, pen pal. I have set in motion the subspace energy interflow between the two plates, so you might as well read on. As I have said, it is not exactly an exchange of personalities. The original personality in each individual is suppressed, literally pushed back out of the consciousness, and the image personality from the photographic plate replaces it. You will take with you a complete memory of your life on Earth, and I will take along memory of my life on Origae. Simultaneously, the memory of the receiving body will be blurrily at our disposal. A part of us will always be pushing up, striving to regain consciousness, but always lacking the strength to succeed. As soon as I grow tired of Earth, I will exchange bodies in the same way with a member of some other race. 30 years hence, I will be ready to reclaim my body, and you can then have whatever body I last happen to occupy. This should be a very happy arrangement for us both. You, with your short life expectancy, will have outlived all your contemporaries, and will have had an interesting experience. I admit I expect to have the better of the exchange. But now, enough of explanation. By the time you reach this part of the letter, it will be me reading it, not you. But if any part of you is still aware, so long for now, pen pal. It's been nice having all those letters from you. I shall write you from time to time to let you know how things are going with my tour. Ever yours, Scander, Origay 2. Dear pen pal, thanks a lot for forcing the issue. For a long time, I hesitated about letting you play such a trick on yourself. You see, the government scientists analyzed the nature of that first photographic plate you sent me, and so the final decision was really up to me. I decided that anyone as eager as you were to put one over should be allowed to succeed. Now, I know I didn't have to feel sorry for you. Your plan to conquer Earth wouldn't have gotten anywhere, but the fact that you had the idea ends the need for sympathy. By this time, you will have realized for yourself that a man who has been paralyzed since birth and is subject to heart attacks cannot expect a long lifespan. I am happy to tell you that your once lonely pen pal is enjoying himself, and I am happy to sign myself with a name to which I expect to become accustomed. Scander, Origay 2.
That was Letter from the Stars by A.E. Van Vogt, narrated by Josh Roseman. What a neat package. Introduction, twist, and resolution in just 14 minutes. I do love a story that doesn't overstay its welcome. And like a finely engineered machine, this one is very subtly crafted, communicating a whole conversation using only one participant's contribution, like overhearing a phone conversation, is challenging to say the least. I think Vogt did a remarkable job. And the same goes for our narrator, incidentally. A pleasure to hear Josh's delivery with his usual high production values. And if you'd like to join me in thanking Josh for his good work, drop by the site at protectingprojectpulp.com and leave a comment on the episode post, or join the conversation in the District of Wonders forum, linked from the site. And while you're there, don't forget to subscribe to the show via iTunes or your podcast app of choice. Just click the subscribe link. Incidentally, check out skyfy.blogspot.com.au, spelled skiffy.blogspot.com.au, for some lovely sci-fi cover art, including some remarkable pulp magazines. There'll be a link in the show notes. Thanks for listening from everyone here at PPP. Our assistant editor, Fred Heimbaugh, our sound engineer, Tom O'Dwyer, our producer, Tony C. Smith, and from me, your host, Simon Hildebrandt. We hope you'll join us next time for episode 61, where we'll bring you The Servant Problem by Robert F. Young. So, remember that if your pen pal is in a penitentiary, don't be surprised when your correspondent doesn't wish to stay stationary. And have a great week.
This presentation has been brought to you by the District of Wonders Network, dedicated to podcasting the finest genre fiction. You can learn more about the District of Wonders and their many literary productions at their website, www.districtofwonders.com. Thank you for listening.